gave to Israel, manna and Sabbath. Now, as to the manna, you'll notice, and Ron read this to us this morning, chapter 16, verse 15. And when the children of Israel, when they saw this most unusual looking thing laying on the ground, very, very small, very round and white, they said to one another, "It is manna." And the word manna means, what is it? That's what manna means. The word manna doesn't mean it's bread. The word manna means, what is this? They didn't know. They didn't know. The scripture says, for they wist not what it was. What is that laying on the ground? And of course, the ground was literally covered with it. Very early in the morning, in the darkness, God sent the dew. And then, on the dew, as that dew evaporated, they looked out and then they saw all of this white thing. Lots and lots of the fields were covered with it because there are 2.5 million people that have got to eat. And their natural reaction was, what is this? That's what manna means. And Moses, he identified it. He said, this is what it is. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is bread. Bread. You'll have to stoop over to get it. But it's bread from heaven. In fact, the psalmist said that the Israelites ate angels' food. What is angels' food? Well, angels' food is the manna that God gave to Israel, the bread. And then, a little later in this portion of Scripture, then we are introduced to the Sabbath. You'll notice this in verse 23. Moses said unto them, because they had to gather 2 times as much manna on the sixth day or Friday than they normally did, because there wasn't going to be any manna on the seventh day. There wouldn't be any manna on the Sabbath. So every other day, if they tried to gather more than they needed, then they would find out that the worms would get into this bread and it would... It would stink. But every Friday morning, when they went out, Moses said, now today you get twice as much. And he says, this is that which the Lord hath said. Verse 23 now. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So, you can't gather tomorrow, you gather today for tomorrow. He said you can bake that which you will bake today, or you can seethe it or boil it. You can boil it today, which you will boil, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept unto the morning, and then you'll have bread tomorrow. So we're introduced here to manna. And we're also introduced to the Sabbath. But we're also introduced to another thing, that this is also the first time this is mentioned in the Word of God. And it was actually read for us this morning. Verse 7. In the morning, when you go out to gather the bread, the manna. In the morning, then shall you see the glory of the Lord. That's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And then again, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. So really, we're introduced here in Exodus chapter 16 to three things that we haven't read thus far in the Word of God. Nothing has been mentioned about these things to the children of Israel so far. In fact, from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, neither one of these things or none of these things have been mentioned. Not the manna, not the Sabbath, though the Lord rested on the seventh day. It wasn't called the Sabbath. And then the glory of the Lord. Now, before we go any further, and I'm really not sure how far I will get in this message on two gracious provisions. It may be that I can't finish this evening. I'm not quite sure because I've got quite a bit of material that I want to lay out before you. But I want you to notice this, that very often in their wilderness journeys, God would say to them, this is happening in order to prove you. This is a test. For instance, go back in chapter 15 and verse 25. This is when they get to Marah and they face the bitter water. They've tasted the bitter water. And of course, they can't drink it, and therefore the name of it was called Marah. At verse 24 of chapter 15, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him, or manifested unto him, a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. This is a test. That is not a test so that the Lord would then see what they were going to do. He already knows. He knows their response. They're already a murmuring congregation. And they will continue to murmur deep into their wilderness journey. This is a test not for God to see how they conducted themselves. This is a test so that they would see themselves. They need to see what they are. They will see the faithfulness of God. That's true. But they will also see their own failure. They'll see their own sinfulness. And this is what we know through our experiences in life. Of all the tests that God sends to us, we so often reveal in our response to the test a failure to react and deal with the test in a way that's honoring to God. And therefore, we learn about ourselves. Look in chapter 16 and verse 4. And then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. And the rate is given in verse 16. Gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Go over to chapter 20 and verse 20. And this is when God gave the law at Mount Sinai, 20:20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you. He's come to test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And then go over to Deuteronomy. And I'll give you a couple of verses over here, three verses over here. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. You get to the book of Deuteronomy, which is really the second reading of God's law. And now they've been wandering for 40 years. This is just about over now. We get to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Now look at verse 16. Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, which is why they called it manna. What is this? That's what manna means. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. You'll learn. You'll learn from your own failures. And you'll learn from my faithfulness. You'll learn how sinful you are and how faithful and good and merciful I am as you fail these tests. And then one other reference, chapter 13 of Deuteronomy and verse 3. And I think I jotted down the wrong verse here. No, I didn't. Here it is, 13:3. If I get the right chapter, I'll have the right verse. Chapter 13, verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now this, the tests that God gave them, they weren't for God's information. Just like the tests that you go through as a result of God sending you some trial, they're not for God's information. It's not for God to see what your reaction is going to be, because God knows all things from the beginning. He knows all things to the end. He knows exactly how we will react. These tests are given in order that the Israelites, and our tests are given to us in order that we might understand our own feebleness and our own failures. We must never think ourselves to be real mighty and strong. Because we're all fickle people. We're all sinful people. We're all weak people. And we're all liable to fall. We're all sinful creatures in the sight of God. Even God's people. And the only thing that holds us up is the mighty grace of God. It's never you, it's always Him. It's never your might, it's His might. It's His strength. It's His faithfulness. These many tests that God gave to Israel, they came to them that they might know their own failures and have a greater appreciation, a much greater appreciation of the goodness and the mercy of God. How many times have you failed a test? Well, if you're like me, you have to say I failed lots of times. And I find myself grumbling. I find myself murmuring. I find myself not being happy with my circumstances. You know, I think in many ways we may be likened, even though we're the children of God, we may be likened to be like little children who, when they get their feelings hurt, say, I'm going home. I'm taking my toys with me. I'm upset. I'm not going to play ball with you anymore. Give me my football. I'm going home. And that's the way we are oftentimes with the tests that God gives us. I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm weary. And rather than facing a test in a positive way, my Lord has sent this. He has sent this for my good. He has sent this to teach me. He has sent this to me to remind me that only in Him do I find strength. Only in Him do I find grace. And His grace is sufficient for my every need. That's the way we ought to respond to a test. When the Israelites here have traveled from Elam and they've taken a look over at the Red Sea, as we read this morning from the book of Numbers, and then they go forth and they have nothing to eat, in what manner should they have responded to that test? Well, they should have responded this way. The Lord has brought us out here. He has redeemed us by the blood of the Passover Lamb. He has led us through the Red Sea. He's good and He's faithful. God will never put us through anything that wasn't necessary for us or good for us or beneficial to us spiritually. So we'll just believe Him and we'll trust Him. That's the way they should have responded, and that's the way we should respond. But they didn't, and oftentimes we don't either. And every one of these is a test. It shows our failures and God's faithfulness. Well, He sends them this unusual looking thing called manna. Now, the manna pictures our Lord Jesus. We know that, and I'll have you go back with me to the book of John. To the book of John. And I asked Susanna to sing that song because it has to do with that occasion when our Lord Jesus broke the bread by the Sea of Galilee, and He fed so many people. And then as the song goes, and as she sang, "Thou art the bread of life. Dear Lord, to me, You're my bread. And we feast on Him." Our Lord Jesus, He has very simple ways of teaching us of His identity. And He'll use very ordinary things to teach us. Bread. All of us are acquainted with bread. Now, I've read, and some of you have read, I know the wheat that we have today isn't like the wheat that they had back in these days. Things have been altered, that sort of thing. But back in these days, back in the old days, we'll say, wheat was very good for you. Very good for you. And bread was very nutritious. And our Lord used that as an illustration of Himself to us. He is the one who nourishes us. He's the one who feeds us. We feed on Him. It isn't just that we feed on the things around us. The flesh feeds on things around us, but the Spirit feeds on Christ Himself. And this is what He is setting forth here in John chapter 6. Now, He identifies Himself as being the bread who's come down from heaven. Look here in John chapter 6, verse 33. "For the bread of God is He." You see that? The bread of God is somebody. And this, you know, as He began to speak about bread, and we could read up, in fact, in verse 31, they said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert." When they began to talk about bread, our Lord speaking about bread, that which came to their minds immediately was, what happened back in the Old Testament in the wilderness? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Bread was something they knew about. And so our Lord uses that. He lays hold of bread, as it were, as a picture of Himself. And so He says in verse 33, "For the bread of God is He." Is He. Is somebody. The bread of God. The bread that originated with God. The bread that God gave. The bread that God sent. Is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He can give life because He is life. Life is found in Him. Life originates in Him. He is life. There is no life apart from that life which He gives. He gives physical life. He gives spiritual life. He gives eternal life. He gives everlasting life. There is no life apart from Him who is life, even the Son of God. Now look at verse 34. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Their mind is on this bread that they would eat with their mouth. And Jesus said, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am. Later He will say, if you go over deeper into the chapter in verse 48, I am that bread of life. I am. I'm Jehovah. I am is Jehovah. The ever-existent God. I'm the bread of life. That's what He's telling these people. And go back to verse 35. He says, He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you feed on me, He's the one that God put, as it were, into the oven of His wrath. And He suffered the heat of God's anger and of God's vengeance when He died upon the cross of Calvary. And He, by His substitutionary death, by enduring the heat of the wrath of God, He became bread for us. And we eat on Him and we live forever. We feast on Him. And we don't feast on Him just one time. We're always feasting on Christ Jesus. We're always coming to Him for life. I am, He says, I am the bread of life. He is Jehovah. He's the bread that nourishes. He's the bread that sustains life. Our Lord would have us to know that He is the apportioned bread and He's the necessary bread. You see, our souls are naturally starving and famished. But we don't know who to feed on, so we feed on husks. We feed on the dead things of this world. Until the Spirit of grace comes along and He has somebody preach the gospel to us, and then we're made to realize we need to feed on Christ Jesus. And I say to anyone here tonight who is still lost in their sins, you've been feeding on dead things. You need to feed on Him who is the living bread that came down from heaven. And that's really what we endeavor to do every time we come into these doors, is to feed on the living bread. To nourish us. To strengthen us. Each day. He is the bread of life. Consider when it was that the Lord gave this bread. He gave this bread back in Exodus chapter 16 at a time of ingratitude and a time of unbelief. They murmured against God. They were dissatisfied with His providence, unhappy about their circumstances. And yet God did not rain down upon them that which they deserved. Just as He has not rained down upon us that which we naturally deserve. Well, what did He rain down upon us? What did He send into this world? The bread of life. The bread of life. When we were unthankful. When we had no gratitude. When we were resentful of every what we considered to be harsh thing that He sent our way. Rather than God dealing with us and rewarding us according to our iniquities, He sent bread. He sent bread. He sent the gospel to you. When you first heard the gospel. Perhaps here, perhaps somewhere else. And you had been walking in darkness. You hadn't been thankful. You hadn't given glory to God. And then all of a sudden, you who had been feeding on, and I did the same thing, feeding on things that were dead, things of the world, thinking that they strengthened me. In my case, I was feeding on false religion. And then all of a sudden, God got my attention, and God had me hear the message of Christ and Him crucified. And I became hungry. I became hungry for the Word. He created that desire. He created that hunger. And if He ever creates a hunger for Christ, the true bread of life, the only thing that will ever satisfy is Christ, the bread of life. And then we feed on Him. Why is it that more people don't feed on the glorious Savior, Him who is the true manna from heaven, that bread that God sent into this world? Why don't more people feed on Him? They're not hungry for Him. They don't have a hunger for Him. Their hunger is satisfied with the things of the world. So they feed on what I'd call dead things. They're like the prodigal. Feed on husks. Feed on pig's food. Feed on slop. Ever slop the hogs? I slopped the hogs many a time. Can you imagine eating the slop that you feed the hogs? Well, we used to feed on spiritual slop. And we thought, okay, this is helping me to some degree. I'm getting a little bit of nourishment from it. No, you're not. The only true nourishment for your soul is the manna that came down from heaven, who gave His life to save sinners. Oh, that God would give to each one of us a hunger for Him. And those of you who are watching by way of the internet, feed on Christ Jesus. Not a dead Christ, but a living Christ. He did die. He died so that God might be just and justified, but He's not dead now. He ever lives. We feed on living bread. And it nourishes us. This is the bread you've got to have. And He gives it. He gives it when we were in a state of unbelief. And even though we still are often unhappy with His providence and dissatisfied with the way that He's doing things, you know what He still does? He rains bread down upon us still. He still feeds us. I'll tell you what God did. He gave this manna in the darkness. In the wee hours of the morning, when the dew fell, that's when the manna came upon it. Now, you couldn't see the manna. And it was, to me, go back to Exodus chapter 16. To me, there's kind of a miracle here. And as you go back there, I'll read you this verse from Numbers chapter... tell you what, you just turn to Numbers with me in Numbers 11, because I want to read several verses here. Look at Numbers chapter 11. God has something to say again about the manna and about the multitude of the people. Numbers 11, you there? Numbers chapter 11, look at verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all, nothing at all, only this manna before our eyes." Now the manna was as coriander seed. The color thereof is the color bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste as a fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Now go back to Exodus chapter 16 and notice what it says here. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Exodus 16:11, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round upon the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a very small round thing. In fact, he says, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. It came in upon the dew. But it would appear to me that it wasn't visible until the dew evaporated. It wasn't visible until the sun came, until the light came. There had to be light to see it. And I'm telling you, Christ is the bread of life. But there's got to be light before you can perceive Him as being the bread. Jim, why don't more people believe Him? Because they're in the dark. They can't see. And don't get mad at them. Don't get mad when somebody refuses to believe the gospel of God's sovereign grace. Don't get upset with them when they won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by pure grace, by redemption, and by His reconciling death upon the cross of Calvary. Don't get upset with them because they're in the dark, just like you. Just like you. It's only when the light shines that you see the manna. Oh God, send the spiritual light that we may see Christ. Here's the scripture. In thy light, what does it say? We shall see light. It's only in His light. And then consider this, where the manna fell. The manna fell in a very significant place in the wilderness of sin. That's where the bread of heaven first fell. It would be, I guess, impossible to find a more fitting title to accurately describe the character of the world into which the Son of God descended. And I said this morning about this wilderness of sin, the word S-I-N, sin in this context, in the meaning, you can look it up in Strong's Concordance or Young's or Cruden's or whatever kind of concordance you've got. It isn't the word of missing the mark or fault. It is briars and thorns. This is where the bread fell. Under these conditions, in a thorny, prickly, painful area, that's where the bread came. It's a wonderful thing when God pricks the heart regarding our own sinfulness. And he makes us feel a little pain. Oh, not outward pain, but inward. But the pain of being an enemy against God. Ever felt that? Ever experienced that? The pain of being alienated from a holy God. And you hear from His word, your sins have Your sins and iniquities have separated you from me. That's when the bread from heaven will be precious to you. When you find out where you are, I'm in the wilderness of sin. And yet in this wilderness of sin, God sends the bread. He sends the bread. And now watch this. The glory of God was linked with the giving of the manna. The glory of the Lord. Once again, look at verse 7. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings. This is amazing. For that he heareth your murmurings against him. And Moses says, and what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, and unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of the Lord, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The glory of the Lord is seen as linked to, in association with, the bread that came down from heaven. Thus far in the Word of God, you have not read of the glory of the Lord being seen. It's only when God is going to send this bread from heaven, that it is identified with the glory of the Lord. For you see, he who came into this world and saved us by his bloody death, he is the glory of the Lord. He is the bread of heaven. The glory of God is linked to, it's always associated with, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. And we beheld His, what's the next word? Glory. We beheld His glory. This one who is the eternal Word who came into this world, we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ah, the glory of the Lord is linked to this bread that came down from heaven. And I'll tell you, this bread, it was sent from heaven. God sent it, even as he sent his Son. But when the fullness of the time was come, God, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. The manna was sent from heaven. We didn't send for him. Did the Israelites send for the manna here? No, they didn't send for it. No, they said, we want to go back to Egypt. While we had lots to eat and eat, we had the flesh pots of Egypt. Oh, I can smell those flesh pots now. Oh. That's what they were saying. And we could eat to the full, as much as we wanted. But God sent a much more nourishing meal down from heaven. And I'll tell you, if you feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, all the spiritual nutrients and vitamins that your soul needs will be very abundantly supplied in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is bread that will meet your need. In fact, in John chapter 6, had we continued to read deeper into John chapter 6, our Lord talked about eating his flesh. I am the bread of life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. What's he talking about? Talking about cannibalism? No, of course not. He's talking about as we eat literal bread, we take it into our body. So by faith, we take of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is the bread sent down from heaven, we take him in, we feed on him. And this is bread that never gets old to the children of God. The children of Israel, will in time say, our souls loathe this light bread. That's what they said when. Our souls loathe this light bread. And that's one of the reasons for the test. Every morning they got up and they ate this bread. Tasted like wafers dipped in honey. I kind of think of it like graham crackers. Honey dipped graham crackers. And they started off, they said, boy, this is so good. Susan, have you tried this? Oh, this is so good. Trish, have you tried this? Oh, boy, this is so delicious. And then days go by and weeks go by. What are we going to have for breakfast? Not again. Not again. Oh, this is a test. The Lord's going to prove you. And they'll finally say, we don't want this bread anymore. And you know what? This often happens to people who come into the congregation of the righteous. And they say, we believe this gospel. Oh, this is wonderful. And we're eating of this gospel. We're feasting on Christ Jesus. And oh, this is delicious. Oh, never heard this before. I'm so excited. And then they find out we have the same fare, the same menu for every meal. But it's always fresh, given by God. And before long, they will say, our souls loathe this bread. We're going to go somewhere else. We're tired of this diet. Thank God, I haven't grown tired of the diet, have you? I haven't grown tired of the bread. The bread. Some of you, Peggy back there, Phyllis, Marty, several of you, bunch of you, you've been here for years. Same menu. Menu hadn't changed. Bread. Every meal. And you go out. You say, oh, I've tasted again that the Lord is precious. Oh, how sweet he is to me. He's as sweet as a wafer dipped in honey. And we feed on him. Yes, he's the true manna from heaven. And we're nourished as we feed upon the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not even going to get to the Sabbath tonight. Tell you what I'll do. I'll just reserve that either to Wednesday or maybe next Sunday night. I may just keep that for next Sunday night. And I'll just make a... I'll have to give this a new title, Ron. Might just call this Bread from Heaven. And then I'll give you the Sabbath thing. I kind of thought it might happen that way, but I never know, and I don't know. Somehow or another, somebody speeds up this stopwatch. The time kind of evaporates. I told somebody not too long ago, I think as I get older, maybe I get more wordy. Or maybe, and I hope this is the case, I'm more excited by the message. And I'm so thankful to have something to say to you. And I hope that it's always fresh to you. And bread come down from heaven, as it were, from the Lord. I hope we feasted on the Lord today and that our souls have been nourished. And because you need to be nourished. You need to be fed to go out back into the world, go back to your homes, go back to your livelihood, whatever it is you do during the week. You need to have fresh bread. And thankfully, God gives us, every time we gather together, manna, sweet manna, from heaven as we feed on Christ our Lord. Father, bless the word that's gone forth this evening, and we're thankful for the privilege to meet together and to set forth again our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we say to those who have never eaten of the manna from heaven, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the boy, and blessed is the girl who tastes of him, who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Savior's name, I pray these things. Amen.